start with paying our obeisances to our preceptors, and then we will continue with the discussion. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavedanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो जुलाई 4th एवरीबडी नोज अमेरिकाज इंडिपेंडेंस डे. We celebrate independence of this United Nations. But in our understanding, what is the real meaning of independence? I'm sure everybody understands the meaning of independence, and everybody may have a different conception, different understanding of independence, what independence means to them. Will somebody like to share? A single sentence, what is their understanding of independence? Freedom. Independence means freedom. That's another meaning of independence. What does independence mean to us? Independence from any particular situation. Okay, good. Anybody from Mataji's? Not being dependent on anything else. What does that do again? So some people talk about financial freedom. Some people talk about freedom from family members. Right? That's also a type of freedom. I want freedom from my wife. I want freedom from my kids. Kids want freedom from their parents. So everybody is looking for freedom. And actually, even though no matter we get freedom from all sort of things, but Krishna says we are shackled by few things. We may consider I am free, but we are bound by certain things. And what are those things? Krishna says, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mad, Matsarya. This is anger, lust, greed, pride, envy, fault finding, ignorance. So we are bound by these qualities. Even though we may get freedom from all external factors, but internally we are bound by these things. And the topic Today's topic was given as the qualities which lead us to liberation. Now, I'm sure everybody knows the meaning of liberation also. But everybody may have, again, different conception of liberation. What does liberation mean? For some people, liberation means freedom, independence. What is the meaning of liberation? Again, any volunteers?
To be set free.
To be set free. So it ties with independence, right? Anybody else? Sometimes people say liberation means freedom from material existence. And in spiritual sense, liberation means going out of this material world, going back to the kingdom of God. So that is, in one sense, real independence or the real meaning of liberation. Now, anything we want in this world, be it independence from any material entity or independence from this material world itself, it comes with a price. Once one beggar was begging outside a nice 5-star hotel. And he saw outside the 5-star hotel there was a signboard. It says nice words, it says welcome. So everybody is welcome. So he said, this is nice. So he went inside the 5-star hotel. So the receptionist greeted him nicely. Please, welcome. What can we do for you? He said, I would like to eat. I would like to stay here. And the receptionist said, yes, of course, you can do that. But this is the price list here. To eat here, that is the price for the lunch. This is the price for the dinner. And this is the price for the room to stay here. And the beggar said, outside you have written nice welcome. Everybody is welcome. What is this? You see, yes, everybody is welcome, but there is a price associated with that. So same way, when we want to go out of this material world, outside the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, the Goloka Dham, there is also one big signboard saying welcome. Krishna has put a big signboard welcoming everybody. Everybody is welcome. Please come back to the spiritual world. But to be able to enter into the spiritual world, there is some price we have to pay. We have to develop certain qualities. So in 15th chapter, Krishna says, my eternal abode, when somebody returns back to it, does not go back to this material world. When somebody reaches this spiritual world, does not go back to the material world. But to be able to reach that spiritual world, the kingdom of God, we have to develop certain qualities. We have to pay certain price. Nothing in this world comes for free, right? No lunch is for free. So what are those qualities? What are those qualities which Krishna say we have to develop to be able to approach the kingdom of God? So I would like to read something from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the song of God, which is spoken by Lord Krishna personally. And it's the condensed summary of all the Vedic scriptures. So we'll recite one verse from this Bhagavad Gita and then we'll discuss maybe few of those qualities. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhir Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitaha Danam Damascha Yajnascha Svadhyaya Stapa Arjavam Ahimsa Satyam Akrodas Tyaga Shantir Apeshunam Daya Bhuteshu Alolukvam Mardvam Harir Achapalam Tejah Kshama Dhriti Shocham Adroho Nati Manita Bhavanti Sampadam Devam Abhijatasya Bharatah. So the meaning of this verse is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, performing austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. So here Krishna is describing some of the divine qualities, some of the transcendental qualities which one need to cultivate to be able to approach to the divine nature, to be able to establish himself in divine nature, to be able to eligible, become eligible to go back to the kingdom of God. So this chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita is entitled The Divine and Demoniac Nature. So Krishna described the qualities for godly people, and on the contrary, the qualities which are possessed by the demoniac people. So here Krishna gives a list of 26 qualities. So 26 qualities which one need to cultivate. And some of these qualities are like in a positive way, truthfulness, peacefulness. And some of the qualities are basically overcoming the negative tendencies, as I mentioned earlier. So the qualities to overcome the negative tendencies, what are that? Freedom from anger, freedom from lust, freedom from fault finding, freedom from the desire for honor and prestige. So we are talking about independence, and here the real independence, Krishna is saying, we need to free ourselves from these bad qualities. Freeing from these bad qualities means establishing ourselves in divine qualities. Now if we go one by one with the whole list of these 26 qualities, it will be very hard to cover in the next 30 to 45 minutes. So what I will like to do is maybe cover two or three of these qualities which are very important for us to consider, because even somebody when moves on the spiritual path, there are some things which pull us down, which bind us. So we'll go over maybe two or three qualities in next 30 minutes or so. And the first quality I would like to discuss is freedom from the desire for honor. And the Sanskrit word Krishna mentions for that is na ati manitah. So when we say anger, and the positive quality means freedom from anger. So negative quality is desire for name and fame, prestige, honor. And the positive quality becomes freedom from that, right? Freedom from the desire for honor, prestige. So ati manita means looking for honor. And Krishna says na ati manita. Freedom from this tendency. What does honor mean? In this material world, everybody is looking for honor. in one way or another. Is that true? No matter what field it is, everybody is looking for becoming famous, to be acknowledged, to be recognized in the society. Either it's somebody want to be a big politician, famous politician, somebody want to become a famous sports person, somebody want to become famous Bollywood, Hollywood star. Even in our small circle, we want to be famous among our friends, famous among our colleagues. Even a small child, he want to be famous in his friend circle in school. Everybody is looking for this honor. So is there something bad in looking for honor and prestige? Is it bad? From spiritual point of view, it's bad. From material point of view, is it good? It's a drive to be able to do something, to accomplish something, to achieve something, so that people will recognize me. But what happens when we get success? It brings pride. And if you get failure, it brings envy. That is the second quality we'll speak of. So the honor, everybody is looking for honor. But the honor is the quality which pulls us down. When we start on the spiritual journey, when we start on the spiritual path, this honor becomes most deadly thing. The prestige, or the, not just the honor which comes on itself, well, but when we seek for honor, when we demand honor from others, the respect, the glory, that becomes a big problem. How is that? Everybody know of a bubble, balloon. So when we pump the balloon, what happens? So balloon may be lying on the ground, but as soon as we pump the balloon little bit, the balloon rises in the air. It loses the ground. And same thing happens with us. When we get this honor, the glorification from others, as soon as somebody started glorifying us, our chest inflates with this pride. And we leave the ground. We start getting rising in the air. We are not connected with the ground. In Hindi they say, the air is called hawa. Right? People who know Hindi, few people here. So you say hawa. Balloon is, or guware mein hawa bharte hain. And the human being is filled with wah. Wah means glorification. Wah, you did this. So nice. Wah is just opposite of hawa. Wah and hawa. Balloon is filled with hawa, air. And the human being is filled with wah. And we leave the ground. We get puffed up. This pride comes in. And Krishna is saying one should be free from this desire for name and fame, pride and prestige, looking for honor. And to relate to that, actually, there are so many pastimes in the scriptures which teaches us this principle, or the need, or the importance of being humble. So humility is freedom from pride, freedom from the desire for honor. That is humility. So in one sense, we need to develop humility. Everybody is familiar with Ramayana. Who is not familiar with Ramayana? Can you raise hands? So Ramayana is the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, who is another form of Krishna, who appeared many, many years back to perform pastimes in this material world. And he performed superhuman activities, and all his pastimes are mentioned in the scripture called Ramayana. So in Ramayana, during Lord Ram's advent in this material world, he gave up his kingdom and went to exile for 14 years in the forest. And during that last part of his exile, his wife was stolen by a demoniac king, Ravan. And Lord Ram, to set free his wife from this demoniac king, Ravan, he went to the kingdom of that demoniac king with the help of the Vanaras, the monkeys. And there was a big war between Lord Ram's army and Ravan's army. So just to give a little introduction of what Ramayana is. And in that whole army, there is one monkey warrior called Hanuman. So I would like to maybe connect few things about these qualities, what we can learn from Hanumanji. So while searching for Mother Sita, all this monkey army, one party of monkeys, they reach to the shore of the ocean. And they are not able to find Sita so far. And finally they come to know Sita is on the other side of this ocean in the kingdom of demoniac king Ravan. Now the question was, who will cross this ocean which is 800 miles in length? And at that time all these monkey warriors, they were thinking among themselves, who will go cross this ocean, jump? So at that time there is no flight that somebody will catch the flight and cross the ocean, go on the other side. So somebody has to jump the ocean 800 miles, cross the ocean and go on the other side and find Sita and come back also with the news. So they are searching, who is that great warrior who can accomplish this huge task? So everybody is speaking about their strength, and Hanumanji, he is completely quiet. And then Jambavan, he start kind of glorifying Hanuman to make him remember his strength. So he is speaking about Hanuman's strength. You are so strong, you are so powerful. But Hanuman is still completely absorbed, not paying any attention. And then Jambavan start glorifying his family lineage, that you are Pavan Putra, the son of wind god. Your father is also so glorious. Hanuman is still not paying any attention. He is still completely absorbed in himself. Now just relate to that situation with our situation. If somebody start praising us, saying something good about you, what happens? As soon as somebody start praising a little bit, as I said, we are filled with the air. Our chest inflates with that pride. Oh yes, please speak. Please speak more. Finally you understood who am I. Please continue. Even though externally as devotees sometimes we practice humility, externally we may say, oh no, I am nothing. But internally somebody may be thinking, yes, now you understood me. Finally. So keep going on. Hanuman, so somebody either gets filled with pride, with personal glorification, or we are too much attached to our family lineage. If somebody glorify your family line, your parents, grandparents, we become pride. Yes, my ancestors, my parents, grandparents, they're so great, they have done so much. Or if somebody praises your child, right? Oh, your child is so well behaved, so disciplined, he is so nice, so intelligent. Again, it fills us with pride. So Hanuman is free from this false prestige on the bodily conception. Deha, deha is body. He is free from this conception from body point of view. And he is free from this conception of pride from the family lineage. Geha. Deha or geha. He is freed from this prestige, the honor. And then as soon as Jambavan said, he is not coming out of his thoughts, I glorified him for his personal strength, I glorified for his family lineage. Then Jambavan finally said, Hanuman, you have taken birth to serve Lord Ram. Now, as soon as Jamavanji said that, immediately Hanuman jumped out of his sitting posture and he rose in the air. So he did not get pride in the heart because of his personal strength. But as soon as he heard of Lord Ram, that I am supposed to serve Lord Ram, immediately he got up. So he is not in the conception of Deha or Geha. He is in the conception of Lord Ram's Sneha, the love of Lord Ram. But are we in that mindset that we have the desire to serve Lord Ram without seeking for personal honor? And when Jamavanti said in Hanuman's prayer, there is one very beautiful part which says, Atulita Baladham, that's glorifying Hanuman for his immeasurable strength. So he said, Atulita Baladham. Atulit means immeasurable. So when he is being glorified that you have unlimited strength, he is saying, no, I don't have any strength. This is not my strength. Yes, I am the Dhamma, but this strength is not mine. So what do you mean? This strength is not yours. You are the Dhamma. He says, see, this body is like a house. Right, we know this body is the house of the Lord. So in a house, if for example there is a house, in that house, in one big room, there are hundreds of bags of grain kept. Does this house own that bags of grain, or the owner of that house owns those grain? Who owns that grain? The owner of the house owns that property. So he said, I am just the Dhamma. The strength which is kept is in this body is not mine. That is Lord Ram's strength which he has kept in this body. I am just this body as a servant of Lord Ram. So that is the mindset of Hanumanji. Completely free from this desire for seeking honor, glorification. And finally, as Hanuman, so I'm cutting down the story. We don't have time to go with the whole story of this Ramayana. I'm just taking few simple snippets from here to connect it with the point we are making here, trying to discuss the few qualities here. So as Hanumanji jumped from that mountain to cross the ocean, as he flew little bit over the ocean, soon one mountain arose from the ocean. It's a mountain of gold, Menak Parvat. So this mountain arose up and stood on the way of Hanumanji, asking Hanumanji, please take rest. I have come here to serve you. See, you are doing such a big endeavor. Please take some rest. Hanumanji paid obeisances. He folded his hands, did his pranam to this gold mountain. He said, I cannot rest. I have to finish the task, the service of Lord Ram. So I cannot take rest. And here on the path of spirituality, as we move slightly on the path of spirituality, some tests come on our way. Are we really sincere to move on this path? So there will be temptations. There will be some opulence which come. Oh, are you sure you want to come to Sunday feast program? Maybe let's watch some movie. Some football match, football game, or go to some party with friends, or stay in the comfort of your house. So some distractions come, but are we really sincere to serve the Lord? So Hanumanji paid his obeisances. I cannot take rest until I finish the task which I have taken up. Now, when we give up something, what happens? So as soon as you give up something, immediately the people will come to glorify you. Isn't it? Oh Prabhuji, you are so great. See, you have given up so much. So glorification happens for two reasons. One scenario is when somebody has gained a lot. So people will glorify. Oh, you have so much. So nice of you. You have this big bungalow. Very nice. Oh, you have this big car, luxury car. Very nice. So glorification happens when you have achieved something big. And the second scenario is glorification happens when you give up something, renounce something. So as soon as you give up something also, people will come to glorify. Oh, so nice. You have given up so much. So nice of you. So here, as Hanumanji gave up this Menak Parvat, resisted that temptation to enjoy that, as he moved further, who came next? One demoness, she arose from the water. Her name is Sursa. So Acharya explains, Sursa means prashansa, glorification. So that comes to test. So Sursa comes as a demoness, and she wants to devour Hanumanji in her mouth. I'm just relating it again with the honor. So when somebody starts glorifying you, the glorification, people's mouth open big to glorify, and all this glorification devour us. We get filled with pride. And we leave the ground. We start thinking, yes, definitely, I am so great. Yes, everybody should bow in front of me, glorify me. So that glorification, the people's mouth to glorify you are like to devour us, like the Sursa came to devour Hanumanji. But what did Hanumanji do? Did Hanumanji get affected by that? He became so small. So this demoness opened her mouth so big to devour Hanumanji, to glorify, in the sense like as people's mouth open big to glorify everybody, to glorify us. So she has opened big mouth to devour Hanumanji. Hanumanji becomes so small, went inside the mouth and came out. So what lesson Hanumanji is teaching us? When the glorification comes, how we can stay grounded? If we stay small, stay humble. Not taking the credit, not getting puffed up. Staying humble, staying grounded, we can be saved from being devoured by this glorification. So it's actually, when we move on this path of spirituality, this is a big anartha, which is binding factor for our progress in spiritual life. The desire for name and fame, honor, prestige, that people should recognize me for my service, people should recognize me for my nice qualities in service of Krishna. Somebody become a nice preacher and we think, see, I'm so nice, I'm cultivating so nice devotees, I'm bringing so many devotees on this path of Krishna consciousness, I'm making so many devotees, I'm making brahmanas, I'm so great. But that itself becomes the cause of our fall down. Lord Ram teaches another very nice principle on this regard. Lord Ram is but Maryada Purushottam. He is called Maryada Purushottam, showing the quality of modesty. So that is one of the quality we just read, 26 qualities. So the quality of modesty, Maryada. When Lord Ramchandra broke this vow of Lord Shiva in the Swayambhar ceremony to marry Mother Sita, so during the assembly of Sita's friends, so Lord Ram is there with Lakshman. So as you know, in wedding ceremony, when the bridegroom's friends are there and bride's friends are there, and they kind of joke with each other. So Sita's friends are kind of joking, saying, what is so special about Ram? And Lakshman is saying, see, my brother Ram, he is so powerful. He broke this vow of Lord Shiva just with small, he just lifted it, touched it, and it broke. So Lakshman is trying to glorify Lord Ram. And Ram is Maryada Purushottam. What does Lord Ram say? He said, no, I didn't break this. I just touched it and it broke. Actually, before me, so many of these warriors, so many of these kings, They use their strength on this bar. They have tried to lift it, but maybe it was not the time for this bar to be lifted. But as all these warriors, all these kings, they use their strength on this bar grew weaker. To such an extent, when I just touched it, it broke. It was just the time for it to break. I did not do anything. I didn't break it. So that is Lord Ram's maryada. And what happens to us? Something little we do, and this pride comes in the heart. Yes, I did this. I achieved this. See, I am doing so great. I am making so nice devotees. I am doing this. I am doing that. So we need to take lesson. This every pastime in Ramayana, there are so many lessons to learn. So Krishna is saying this quality of freedom from the desire for seeking name and fame. That is the freedom. Otherwise, no matter what kind of freedom you get, you got financial freedom. Are the people who are financial free, are they free from pride? They become more proud. See, look at me. At the age of 40, I retired. I got financial freedom. So any of these small material achievement actually fills us with pride. And we need to be free. The real freedom means free from these anarthas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a very wonderful teaching in his Shikshashtakam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Na dhanam na janam na sundarin kavitam va jagadish kamay mam janmani janmani ishware bhavatad bhaktir ahetukitvai. Na dhanam, I'm not seeking for any wealth. Na janam, I'm not seeking for birth in higher family. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim, I'm not seeking for the association of beautiful woman. Now just think about this. When somebody has given up so much, he has given up the wealth, he has given up the family lineage, he has given up the association of worldly beautiful woman. What comes next? It's so easy to fill up with pride. Right? To seek the honor. See, I have given up so much. And next Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adds specifically the next part. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va. No desire for any name and fame or the followers. I don't want any followers or the name and fame or glorification. All I want is the service to the Lord, birth after birth. Mam janmani janmani ishware bhavatad bhaktir ahetukitvai. That is my only desire. So, one of the wonderful quality to cultivate is free from honor. And the next quality actually I want to discuss is the freedom from envy, adroha. So with honor comes pride, and because of pride comes envy. Isn't it? So this whole world is full of envy. Actually, Prabhupada writes in one of his purport in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5. He writes in one of the purport that one man is envy of another and another man is envy of another. This is the way of this world. And this Krishna consciousness movement is to create an environment free of envy. So in this material world, everybody is full of envy. We are envious of somebody's progress in this world. Is that true or false? How many of us go to work, to office? Now in your office, you are sitting among your colleagues, all your team members, eating lunch, and in the middle of lunch you get up from your chair and you declare boldly, tomorrow onwards or very soon I will be the boss of this team, I will be the boss of you all. Will all your friends start clapping? Very nice, we are looking forward to that. What will happen? Everybody becomes so envy. How come? What is your qualification? How come? Why cannot I be the boss? Why you? So this enviousness is so deep-rooted, we cannot see the fame of anybody or the progress of anybody in this material world. And we are so conditioned with this tendency of envy, as we take to this spiritual life, as we take to this devotional path also, we are shackled with this anartha of envy. As somebody is making little progress, we cannot see the progress. That envy come. Oh, how come he is getting more recognition than me? How can he is doing better than me? I am here more than him, longer than him. So this enviousness is the root quality or the root problem for our existence in this material world. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 27, Krishna says, Ichha dvesha samuttena dvanda mohena bharata. Every living entity is bound up with these two things, the desire to enjoy independently and the enviousness. Because of that, we are keep going life after life in this cycle. So this enviousness is very bad quality. And again, from the pastime of Hanumanji, as Hanumanji went, crossed the whole ocean, went on the other side, he met Mother Sita, he destroyed the garden of Ravan, and finally he got captured, or he himself made him available to be captured by the soldiers of Ravan, and he was brought into the assembly of Ravan. And Ravan earlier wanted to give him death sentence. And finally he was told by his brother Vishan that he is a messenger who has come to our assembly, and as per the scriptural injunctions, one should not give death sentence to the messenger. If you all want to be, if you really want to do something, maybe give him, punish him something else, like harming some of his body part or something. So Ravan, as he is looking at Hanuman, he saw Hanuman's tail. Now tail in Hindi is called poonch. So there is two words, one is poonch, one is pooch. Pooch is glorification. Poonch is the body limb. So there is very small difference. So Ravan has problem with the pooch of Hanumanji. How come his pooch here in my kingdom? How come he is getting fame in my kingdom? Destroying all my garden and killing my soldiers. So the demonic person get envy from other person and he want to harm him. So he want to burn up the tail of Hanumanji. He want to destroy the fame of Hanumanji. So he want to burn his tail. So demonic people in this world, envious people, burning up with envy, they want to harm the other people. And as they are preparing to burn Hanumanji's tail, putting fire on that, what did Hanumanji do? He became very small first. So when somebody is envious of us, how can we be saved from that envy? Just present yourself as very small. Become very humble, so that fire of envy cannot touch us. So Hanumanji became very small. And as they put the fire, then he grew bigger, so bigger, touching the sky, and he put whole Lanka on fire. So but the what Hanumanji is demonstrating with these pastimes here, when somebody is burning with envy, not to respond to that envy. Stay humble, stay small. But on the contrary, what happens when somebody is envious, that other person's fame even expands more and more. So Hanumanji grew even bigger and bigger and burned the whole city of Lanka. But this envious tendency is so deep-rooted, and it's very important to give up this envy. So how we can give up this envy? And what are the effects of this envy actually? Shukdev Goswami mentions in Srimad Bhagavatam the effects of this envious nature. Because of the envious nature, the heart of the person becomes so hard, like a hard wood, that it cannot appreciate the qualities of other person. The heart becomes so self-centered, it cannot appreciate the qualities of other person. And the other side effect or the bad part of this envious nature is the person loses its intelligence. Sometimes we think, oh, this enviousness is just in the mind. I'm not expressing it out. What is wrong with this? It's in just my mind. I'm not doing anything. But this small bad anartha in the heart, it grows so big and big and big. It doesn't say small. And in Bhagavatam, it gives many examples. Like the drop of oil. If you put the drop of oil on the surface of water, the small drop does not stay small. It expands on the surface of water. If you tell any secret news to a bad person, the word used is khala, khalanayak. So if you tell any secret news to a bad person, a demon person, that news does not stay small. It spreads like a forest fire. And if you give a charity to a bona fide person, that act of charity doesn't stay small, because that person will expand that act of charity further, and this whole act of charity will expand. And the education given to a qualified person, even a small education given to a qualified person, doesn't stay small, because that education will spread. You teach one person, he will teach another, he will teach another. Like that, the education will spread. And same way, this small quality of envy, the small anarthas in the heart, even if we think, oh, it's this small thing in my heart, what is so harmful about it? Actually, it doesn't stay small. It spreads like anything in the heart. And then it manifests externally, either as a verbal abuse to somebody or as a physical abuse to somebody. And Bhagavatam gives example of both scenario. The result of envy as a verbal excuse is in the example of Daksha Prajapati to Lord Shiva. So Prabhupada writes in commentary that Daksha was envious of Lord Shiva. And at one instance, he spit out all his envy as a verbal abuse to Lord Shiva in that assembly. Because that anartha, that small thing in the heart, doesn't stay small. It grew so big that it comes out eventually. And as a matter of physical abuse, we see in the story of Maharaj Chitraketu. So Chitraketu had many wives, but he did not have any child. Finally, he got child from one of his wives. All the other wives became so envious of this wife who finally bore child. And this enviousness grew so much so that they poisoned the child. Because the result of envy is the heart becomes so hard and one loses all its intelligence. So Krishna says, freedom from envy. That is one of the divine qualities one need to cultivate. And I'm sure we are running out of time, but just next another 5 minutes, I would like to say one more very important quality. Is that okay?
Yes.
So Krishna says, the another very important quality, actually that is the most important quality or the most difficult to achieve also. And that quality is Arjavam, straightforwardness. Among all these 26 qualities, the quality of straightforwardness. Straightforwardness means actually simplicity. Simplicity of heart, simplicity of our behavior. It's the most difficult to attain. Because we are so conditioned, we are so crooked in our heart, we cannot act in a simple way. Actually, the word simple itself In Hindi, the word simple is called saral. So the word itself is also very simple. Sarala. There is no E matra, U matra, anything. It's just sarala. Very simple. So the word itself is very simple. And one sadhu actually explained, I like his explanation very nice, very much. He said, Sa means Sita. Ra means Ram. La means Lakshman. Simplicity means to center our life around Sita, Ram, Lakshman. If we can make our life centered around Sitaram Lakshman, if we can make our life centered around Radha Kunj Bihari, then we can attain simplicity in our life. Otherwise, simplicity is next to impossible for us to achieve. We are so crooked, so much politics go in and out throughout our life, day in, day out. We cannot accept anybody's authority, we cannot accept anybody's guidance. Because we want our complete independence. Right? We think, I want to be independent. I cannot accept anybody's authority. That is another meaning of independence for some people. But the simplicity, only if we get simplicity, then we can get the grace of the Lord. And Hanuman is again the role model to show this example of simplicity. Somehow I like Hanumanji a lot. So I mention his examples. So when Lord Ram got Mother Sita back, they all came to Ayodhya. One day Hanuman was roaming around in the palace and he saw Mother Sita putting sindoor in her partition of hair. And Hanumanji asked, Mother, what is this? Now Mother Sita, how to explain Hanumanji? He is Bal Brahmachari. He doesn't know anything about this husband-wife and this marriage and what is this. So she said, how to explain this? So she just said, this is to please Lord Ram. Lord Ram becomes pleased when I put this in my partition of hair. And Hanumanji, so much simplicity. Oh, this pleases Lord Ram. So wonderful. So what did Hanumanji do? He drenched himself with that whole orange powder, sindoor, whole body. That is simplicity. Ready to do anything for the pleasure of the Lord. And Lord Ram at that time was in the assembly with his ministers and everybody and discussing some kind of very deep matters. And Hanumanji comes jumping up and left and right, dancing in the air, drenched with this whole orange powder. Lord Ram looked at him, who is this? Who is this person? His face is also completely covered. Who is this? And finally looking at the tail of Hanumanji, he recognized, oh, Hanumanji. Hanuman, what is this? Why did you do this? Hanumanji said, my Lord, this is to please you. I heard you become pleased by just putting a small drop of this orange powder. So I just put everything. So Lord Ram had tears in his eyes. He said, this is a simple devotee, saral, whose whole purpose is to please the Lord, not considering, how do I look? Do I look good? What do people think about me? I am representable or not? He has no consideration, just thinking how to please the Lord. So that is simplicity. Only simplicity can attract the grace of the Lord. And we are so complex in our lives actually. This, Krishna has given us two things. Mind and the heart. And the mind, what happens to us, we utilize the mind to understand God. And we give our heart to this world. We accept everything in this world blindly. And when it comes to understand Krishna, when we hear the pastimes of Krishna, when we use our mind, we use our brain. Oh, how can that be? How can Krishna, 7-year-old boy, on his little pinky finger, how can he lift Govardhan for 7 days? Oh, how can that be? And we start analyzing this with our mind. But when it comes to the worldly things, we accept everything. We give our heart to the world, we put our mind to understand Krishna. It should be other way. We should give our heart to the Lord. And we should use our mind to understand this world around us. What is this world? Why there are so much suffering in this? What am I doing here? I need to get out of this. Get real independence. There is a saying, simple living and high thinking. Right? Everybody is familiar with the simple living and high thinking. But in this world, mostly everybody is simply living and hardly thinking. Or high living and low class thinking. People want to show off what they have. High class, high standards of living. And the thinking at the level of animals. How to sleep, eat, mate, defend. Simplicity means to center our lives around the Lord. Bring the Lord in our life. Have complete dependence on the Lord. That is the meaning of real independence. Then we can become really independent from all these anarthas. To become free from all these anarthas, become independent from all these bad qualities, the one and only way is to glorify the Lord, to chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If we engage ourselves in the chanting of holy name, then only we can start developing these good qualities and become free from the bad qualities. And that only can lead us to the real independence. That only can make us eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. That only can make us eligible to gain the real liberation. So I will stop here. Please forgive me if I spoke anything wrong or if I spoke anything too hard. The purpose is just to convey the message of Prabhupada, our acharyas. So thank you very much for being attentive listeners. And if anybody has any question, any comment, please feel free to ask. There are many senior devotees also who can answer your questions. Yes, Prabhuji. Yes.
So you kind of give a contrast between
that. Right. So what Krishna is saying here, become free from the desire to receive honor. Right? But it doesn't mean we don't do the things in service of Krishna which by default brings honor. So when we do something, as I said, honor will come. People will come immediately to glorify you. But at that time also we need to stay grounded. If at that moment we let that pride bubble up in our mind, in our heart, that spoils all service mood. So people will come to glorify, and how we can stay free from this desire for honor and desire for envy or this tendency of envy, the only way is to read, to listen, to chant the holy name of the Lord. Pride, the honor will come, no matter if we are seeking for honor or not. We should not seek for honor for sure. Even if it comes, we should say, I am useless. I am so insignificant. It is just Krishna who is making me the instrument to do this. As Hanuman is saying, oh, this strength doesn't belong to me. I am just the dham. I am just the house. Lord has put all his strength in me. This does not belong to me. I am the servant of the Lord. So we consider ourselves as the instrument, not the doer. So considering ourselves just the instrument. So Krishna, when spoke to Arjuna, he said, finally, what did he tell Arjuna? Nimit matra bhava Arjuna. Become the instrument. So Krishna could have killed all the armies by himself, but he made Arjuna as an instrument. So same way for this preaching movement, when we are engaged in preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, glorification will come. But are we really the doer? Or we think ourselves just as an humble instrument? That is what matters. What matters is our consciousness at that time. And I'm not very qualified speaker to speak more detail about this topic. I myself have so many times speaking on this topic doesn't mean I have conquered all these things and I'm all these good qualities in me. I'm also still working hard on this. Please pray for me. I can progress on this path of cultivating these qualities and sharing Krishna consciousness with others. Did I answer slightly? Mm-hmm. It's a big subject matter and there are many different angles to this. So definitely we can talk much more about this. In the interest of time, if anybody has any other question. So honor and prem, what is the difference in honor and prem? First of all, are we seeking honor and prem from others? Right? If we are saying, okay, he did not give me enough honor, I couldn't see enough love in his heart to receive me, to welcome me. First of all, is that the part of the desire for seeking that honor and love from others? Now honor is generally, as every human being is supposed to respect honor to others. As we go to somebody's house or somebody comes to our house, we are supposed to give them the bare minimum honor, right? Receive them with welcome words, the sweet words. Offer them a seat to sit. Give them something to eat or drink. That is the symbol of giving honor to somebody, to receive somebody. No, and based on the relationship one has with other, the love develops as a mutual connection, that how much reciprocation is there among the two individuals. But as a matter of bare minimum honor, it's everybody's duty to give these bare minimum things, as mentioned in the scriptures. Even if an enemy comes to our house, we should honor him by giving these bare minimum things, offering him sweet words, place to sit. So that is the honor. It's not the honor to glorify somebody for their achievements, for their accomplishments. So that is a different thing we are talking about here. Okay, thank you very much. So we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.